Chris and I are going to kind of tag team this. We promise not to run over time. By way of introduction, I served as provost for WPI for several years, and in discussions with my humanities colleagues, I was discussing a fairly major change in our academic curriculum, and it just didn't seem to be getting across to some of the humanities faculty. And at one point, one of them said, "John, you have to understand, all we have is words." And I didn't say, but I could have said, "Ruth, and all I have is numbers." And it was a really great experience overall to see the diversity of perspectives. You could say the different languages that our different faculty across the university speak. And this is a great gathering to discuss that. The other brief comment I'll make is that I'm the incoming chair of the Engineering Accreditation Commission of ABET, so I'll be happy to coordinate accreditation sort of activities that may relate to this. We are from ABET, and we're here to help you. WPI, I'm not going to bore you with much history, but WPI was founded in 1865, really in the center of America's Industrial Revolution, Massachusetts, Rhode Island, Connecticut. Our first two buildings, John Boynton and Ichabod Washburn. John Boynton was a proponent of basic theory in science and mathematics for engineers, and Worcester was and still is a metalworking town. Ichabod Washburn on the right founded Washburn and Moen, a major manufacturing company that made much of the barbed wire that fenced the West. He was a proponent for practical training, almost an apprenticeship model. The building on the left there you see, Boynton Hall, was built in the high Gothic style, was the classroom building. The building on the right, a red brick building with a bell to summon the workers to work or the students, was built in the mill style. We still have those two first buildings standing at WPI, surrounded by a lot of other buildings. This is the basis for what we call our Two Towers tradition of theory and practice, however you want to characterize it, and we've put it to use, I think, very effectively since 1865, or entering into our sesquicentennial. But in 1970, we instituted what was called the WPI plan, I would say for two fundamental reasons. 1970, I'm old enough to remember that. It was a time of great ferment, great liberal and free thought, and it was also a time of declining enrollment, frankly, in what was a very traditional, rigid engineering program. And so the faculty developed a very non-traditional, very flexible engineering program, one of whose hallmarks existing today, more than 40 years later, is what we call the Interactive Qualifying Project. These are some students in the upper right in Thailand, installed photovoltaics. Lower right is our project center in South Africa, what's called a creche, a child care center that serves often as a community center. So we have been implementing these aspects of broad education, project-based education, outcomes-based education. Lots we could talk about separate from this. We used to have what we called a competency exam, high-stakes aspect. We dropped for, I think, good reasons, different topic. Flexible term lengths that I think has served us well. And I would say we have about 4,100 undergraduates. Not a huge program, but about 4,100 undergraduates. So I would claim we're not a boutique program. We do represent the ability to sustain a non-traditional program and to carry it out. Just to kind of finish the picture of WPI's overall education, the merger of humanities and science and technology is represented to one extent by our interactive media and game development program, joint between computer science, the rendering, the technology aspect, and humanities. If you don't have a good story, you don't have a good video game. Upper right, senior project at Huazhong University of Science and Technology in China. I advise projects at our Silicon Valley Project Center going on right now. And lower right, our first year experience, which we call the Great Problem Seminars. which is our version of the Grand Challenges, where incoming students address big problems, like feeding the world, not just F equals MA. So with that, I'm going to turn it over to Chris.
So since 1970, we've had a humanities and arts requirement. So every student coming to WPI has to take a six-course, I call it a sequence, but they get to pick the disciplines, the sequence, everything. We offer a variety of humanistic and artistic disciplines and courses, but the final course they take is a project where they are now in a seminar of 12 students and they're doing independent work but collectively in a seminar style. So it's an informal way outside of our liberal arts and engineering bachelor's degree that John will talk about. It's an informal way for us to bring together the humanities and the arts and the technical. And so students can take part in performances. We have a theater program. I've got a musical production here. They can also do more traditional history papers, research projects, philosophy, literature, writing, and so on. And sometimes they do those very separately. They may do their technical education and then be involved in the theater. But a lot of times they find ways to combine so that their project in the humanities and arts might be, for instance, a computer science student who took philosophy courses might write a research paper on the ethical implications of or the epistemological and ontological implications of downloading your brain onto a computer. So he's thinking about possibilities in his field of computer science and then thinking deeply about them through the philosophy coursework, reading John Locke and David Hume and people like that, and writing a paper that helps him in a way that none of his computer science courses are going to do, to really think deeply and about whatever he's doing in the technical field. So that's our art. That's our humanities and arts project. And this is an example of a video game John was talking about. The first one you saw was fairly crude in its artistic rendering. Now we've got figure drawing classes, and we have a lot more talent in the artistic side. And this is a group of students who were also learning about the context of the game development from a gender studies point of view, from ethical point of view. What are the social implications and ramifications? Who are the audiences? And that sort of thing. And so they started a business in Worcester after they graduated called High Class Kitsch, and they were very ambitious. They knew the statistics that women over 30 tend to play a lot more computer games, or a lot more women over 30 play computer games than we would think, based on the kind of computer game that dominates the market, and they wanted to develop some games that were really challenging, so there it is. This is an inquiry practicum in the Jazz History Database, where students, mostly with computer science skills, will digitize, collect jazz artifacts, and they've developed an online museum for these things, and they're also learning about field research, anthropological field research, doing interviews, so they're collecting and generating new material as well as collecting already existing material to preserve it. And I'm going to turn it over to John here.
Thanks. Let me say just a few words, and I promise not to dwell on bullet slides. We broke the rule and put a few words up here on the slides. What Chris and I were describing is our program for all of our students, right? The humanities and arts requirement for all of our students, the interactive qualifying project. Over 50% of our students do an offshore interactive qualifying project. And we have obviously all the traditional majors, like my own is electrical and computer engineering, as well as some liberal arts majors. We also have a major that we call liberal arts and engineering. And it awards the Bachelor of Arts degree, our first and only. Only Bachelor of Arts degree. Our other degrees are Bachelor of Science at the undergraduate level. We also award Masters and PhDs. So overview in the paper we provided to this meeting, the curriculum, nine courses in math and science, nine in engineering, nine in humanities and arts, and then this major project. Overall, I should say 45 courses are the minimum required for graduation at WPI. So you see the percentage by this in this curriculum. If the individual courses are custom designed, if a student was interested in energy and the environment, these are the sort of technical courses he or she might take, from electrical engineering, computer science, mechanical engineering, ES is engineering science that spans many of the engineering disciplines. So it's not just introduction to, really getting into the meat of what underlies energy. And of course, the basic math and science prep courses would have been taken separate from this. And then the liberal arts courses, I really should say liberal arts and social science courses, to be specific, spans government, environmental studies, and philosophy. So that's a brief introduction to the curriculum. We can certainly talk more about the details, but I'll turn it back to Chris.
Thanks. That's not Charlie Mizek. That's my colleague, Constance Clark. What we've found is that in the humanities requirement, the best students are able to integrate their technical majors with the humanities and arts requirement in ways that they find very satisfying. But sometimes it happens in a kind of haphazard way, and I'm going to show you just a brief clip about this student he'll be talking to, which shows what it provokes for me is the question of how do we systematize this, or maybe that's the wrong word, how do we build a structure to support the kind of really forward thinking that Charlie stumbled upon it, but how do we help them integrate the two cultures? Because many people, are very capable and very interested in both kinds of thought. So I'll let him speak here. How do I do that? Oh, shucks.
During my last year at WPI, I started a company called Natural Guides, and we make nature and natural science-related software for mobile devices like iPhones and Android phones. Well, I came to WPI wanting to be an engineer. I started with system dynamics and switched to computer science after a while, explored that, and then I became a math major. Eventually, I found my way into an environmental history course.
Well, I think he took to environmental history the way sponges take to water, just soaked everything up. And that really opened up a new world to him, I think.
WPI gave me a chance to get all of the technical knowledge that I needed, but still explore the areas of history and art and to bring those things together into the company that I have now.
And this this clip from Charlie Mizek helps illustrate a couple of things, but the one you wouldn't tumble to is that illustrates why our liberal arts and engineering major has been, you could say, a failure. Because Charlie was not a liberal arts and engineering major. He was simply able, given our curriculum, to put the program together that enabled him to achieve the degree that would lead him to his business. Okay? So, summarize our experiences. We've had the LAE degree for 6 years now. We've graduated a grand total of two students, and we have one student in the program now. Perhaps at WPI we have the wrong student population for a major in liberal arts and engineering. Just before coming out here, I checked our statistics on the website. We have 4,030 undergraduate students this year, a grand total of 30 of whom are in a non-science or engineering major. So we don't have liberal arts students who might decide, gee, I want to combine liberal arts with engineering. And our engineering and science students receive a fair amount of, we could say receive a fair amount of education from the traditional point of view, or have the opportunity to pursue, given the flexibility of our program, the areas that they want within the more traditional majors. So that may be the reason that we haven't seen big success with this major. I do think it's an important experience to point out, but I think broadly our approach to science and engineering education should be relevant to other schools envisioning majors or modules or other approaches. I'm not going to dwell on these thoughts or questions because these can be aspects for the panel discussion. I think I've seen through my career, first as a student, then as a professor and administrator, continuing tension in the academy between knowing and doing. I had a girlfriend in graduate school who was comparative literature, PhD student. And I think, at least at the university where I received my PhD, it was easier to get tenure doing comparative literature than by writing a novel, the knowing versus doing aspect. Similarly in the sciences. And how do we how do we blend the knowing and the doing and respect each for what it brings to the needs of society and the world, really. A question that I think we've all, I hope, considered a little bit. At least engineering students study some fair amount of humanities and arts. I think, biased obviously, we do it pretty well at WPI. Why do more liberal arts and social science students not study some engineering? I think trying to, before we get too far putting the answer together, let's be sure we really have answered the question about why that is. What are our reasons? I think those could be some topics for discussion.
And John's last question about getting humanities students and social science students to study the engineering, it was one of the things that prompted me and some students to work on developing a game. And the other thing that we were thinking about is what the man from NSF said about make sure it's portable and scalable. We know that it's pretty time-consuming for faculty to advise these small student project teams. And so my students and they were mostly sophomores because they're not humanities majors. They're taking this requirement. And the final project was they were in my class and we were developing a game. And they chose, I gave them the date and I told them it had to be Worcester and it had to be a technical challenge with some human components and they could decide what it was. And they developed a game based on Worcester's sewage problem. And they developed student roles. So the students will play this game in a classroom. They're each given a role and some primary source materials. They're given challenges. They're giving objectives, some of which are secret from other characters. And so they get to experience engineering. And I'm thinking a history student or just an undeclared major somewhere might really find it interesting to learn about engineering this way, because I remember when I was an English major, I had no clue what engineers did. I knew who they were and where their building was. But so this is a game that, and we're working really seriously with other engineers. There's a strong ethical component that runs throughout. It's not a module, but students learn about listening to each other and listening to people from very different points of view and interests. The immigrants and the poorest people and the African Americans live in the low-lying neighborhoods of Worcester where the dirty water, where the sewers overflow, and so on. And we've got data science, data mapping, arguing from data, communication, ethics, engineering design. We're working on computational literacy. I mean, and really the limit to what kinds of serious technical content you can include just depends on how much time you have to run this game and which colleagues from other disciplines are willing to sit down with you. Now, we're going to pilot it at WPI in the spring of next year and also at the City College of New York, the Colin Powell Institute for Global Leadership, and the engineering school there, and also our local Quinsigamond Community College in Worcester. So there's a lot of enthusiasm, and we'll report back on what the learning outcomes are, because when we build the assignments, we're also going to collectively develop learning outcomes and ways of testing them. So stay tuned for that. That's all for me. Go ahead.
Excuse me. I think it's all for me, too. These are possible discussion topics. So I would look forward to the discussion.